All right, let me jump on into the opening monologue, the Right Side Way monologue. Reminds you guys that every single day, the Right Side Way monologue brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee, practicing for over 30 years, a true conservative, and oh, by the way, the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue, and I'll tell you more about him here in a few minutes. All right, I'm going to tell you a story today. And let me just start by saying, to lay the predicate for it, there's a thread of thought out there, a thread of thought, if you will, that you have to be pure in your positions to be allowed to participate in the process. What do I mean by that? Well, yesterday, and then later on in the show, we'll play a clip from it. Yesterday, I saw Alex Villanueva, the sheriff of Los Angeles County in California. He just switched to the Republican Party after decades as a Democrat. Is that okay? I mean, can we see that happen? Is it reasonable to believe that he really is one of us? And I have to ask, what does one of us mean? You see, I still hear people say, well, be careful. You know, Elon Musk used to be a Democrat. Yeah, but is he now? Is he helping or hurting? Well, be careful of RFK and Tulsi Gabbard because they were Democrats. Yeah, they were Democrats who bucked their own party, even sued their own party, and now they're doing everything the way I would want it done. It doesn't mean I trust their positions and everything, not at all. I don't have any illusions that any of these folks I just named are somehow dyed-in-the-wool, you know, conservatives who've seen the light on every position. But I do believe they have joined my team, and the roles they've been given are going the way I would want them to go. All right, so before you think I'm watering down my standards, the answer is no, I'm not watering down my standards. I'm a Republican, sure, but I'm a conservative Christian first. And because I'm a conservative Christian, I look through that lens and I have my worldview shaped by those principles. And I find that, generally speaking, the Republican Party is more in line with my conservative Christian values, therefore, I'm a Republican. But I also saw time and again when I served in the State House that there were Republicans who differed from me on certain positions. I mean, we could stand side by side one day and then go toe-to-toe the next day. Generally, we were together, but sometimes we were not, and it's maddening. I mean, you'd like to believe that if you're on the same team that all things align, but they don't. I had fellow Republicans who were pro-life, but they were also pro-tax. I had fellow Republicans who were soft on abortion, but they wouldn't ever vote for a tax increase. And I saw Democrats who would occasionally cross the aisle and vote for something that no one else in their party would vote for, and you bet we took their vote. Well, here's the deal. What I'm saying is, sometimes the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Sometimes a vote or an effort from somebody who is not entirely lined up with me on every subject is still a friend for that moment. You can call them an 80% friend if you want to, but I'd rather have an 80% friend than a 0% enemy. And their help is still worth having. Their work is still worth doing. Their results are still worth applauding. I've heard it said that General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, once said, I'll take a dollar from the devil if I can use it for the God's work. Okay. So yeah, I'm an absolute constitutional Christian conservative, but if a former Democrat wants to help me fight progressives on a certain issue today, I will take that vote and use it to advance my cause. I'm saying all this because it triggered something when I heard a story that I had never heard before. A story from World War II, a story that really ought to be made into a movie, to be honest. Have you ever heard the story about the last battle at Castle Itter? The time when German and American soldiers actually banded together to fight the SS. Well, I hadn't either. But man, it's a good story. So sit back and listen, my friends, because this is history, and it happened exactly 80 years ago this week. So in May 1945, the war in Europe was almost over. Hitler and Mussolini were both dead. American and Soviet forces had already linked up, and the German government was about to formally surrender. And German soldiers were either trying to give up to the Allies, or in the case of diehards like the SS, they were trying to kill anyone they considered to be a traitor. Well, Castle Itter was a relatively modern fortification built in 1878 at the top of a hill overlooking the village of Itter in the Tyrol region of Austria. It had been a private estate, a hotel. Eventually, it came under Nazi control. And in 1943, Castle Itter was made a part of the Dachau prison network, but this was unlike the rest of Dachau, this was not a death camp. Castle Itter became a prison for some of the Nazis' most important VIPs. So in Castle Itter, they had imprisoned French generals, two former French prime ministers, other politicians, a former French tennis star, believe it or not, who became a nationalist politician. There was a handful of Czech and Yugoslav partisans. Even Charles de Gaulle's sister was imprisoned at the castle. So as the surrender of Germany came closer, the guards abandoned the prisoners and just left them alone. But the word was, as the guard commander was leaving, he said the SS were coming and they would execute the prisoners. So the prisoners sent one of their own into a nearby village. He didn't find any Americans. What he found instead were 24 German regular army soldiers. And those soldiers were already contemplating, how do we surrender to the U.S. that's advancing into our area? Well, the prisoner convinced the German commander, who then realized, oh, Castle Itter, what a great way for me to gain favor with the Americans right before I surrender. So under a flag of truce, the German officer approached four American tanks from the U.S. 12th Armored Division, led by a Captain Jack Lee. The story goes that Captain Lee was standing there chewing on an unlit cigar when the German walked up, and he told him about Castle Itter. And Captain Lee decided to work with the man. So one small U.S. tank unit, a group of U.S. infantry, and 24 German soldiers all moved to Castle Itter and secured it together. Two groups of enemies came together for the rescue of the prisoners, and they were none too soon because right after they got there and began to secure things, over 100 SS soldiers came out of the wood line nearby and marched on the castle just within hours of them getting up their defenses. The SS had artillery, and they had a mixed group of rescuers holding the castle walls. Well, the prisoners armed themselves and joined the fight. So now you had German, French, American, Czech, and Balkan fighters all holding off an overwhelming Nazi force of diehard SS troops who were committed to their deaths while holed up inside a castle on a mountain. Think about that. It's crazy. And they were surrounded, and their communications were knocked out. It was the Alamo. And the battle raged, and the German officer was actually killed by an SS sniper. Let that sink in. The Germans were killing their own. The snipers were German. The man they shot was a German. It was all on the line now. Eventually, the Frenchman, who had been a famous tennis star before the war, he was the most athletic person they had, so he was chosen to make a suicide run to find help because all their communications had been knocked out. The Americans knew the rough position of where other U.S. forces might be, so the Frenchman ran out the gate. He ran through the battlefield under fire from the SS, and he made it overland to U.S. forces. Meanwhile, the SS began advancing on the castle. Well, the fight raged, and just as Captain Lee was ordering his weird conglomeration of fighters to fall back further into the castle's keep, the reinforcements actually arrived. American armor and infantry. They tore through the SS, who abandoned the fight, leaving their dead on the slopes around the castle. The Americans linked up with Captain Lee. The prisoners were all eventually repatriated to their home countries. The officer who died, the German officer Joseph Gengel, he was the man who had given his life while joining his former enemies to fight with his previous friends. Captain Lee was actually awarded the Distinguished Service Cross, second only to the Medal of Honor for heroism under fire. But you have to wonder, what would have happened if Captain Lee had just taken the Germans prisoner instead of listening to their story about the castle? Nobody would have argued. They were German troops. Take them prisoner. It was war. They were the enemy. But at that particular moment, the enemy of his enemy became his friend. And Captain Lee took the time to align himself with someone else for the greater good. Look, now I know the German soldiers in that fight against the SS, they were still former Nazis, right? I know that if the roles were reversed and their side had been winning, they would probably not have aligned themselves with U.S. troops to fight the SS, right? I get it. That's not the point. Because you see, sometimes your situation dictates. Sometimes the hand up or the hand out can come from the least expected situations. The Bible's full of stories like that, allies in strange places. You had Rahab, the Canaanite woman who helped Israeli scouts at Jericho. You had foreign kings in the Bible who aligned themselves with Israel. You had the Egyptian pharaohs who God used to bring the Jews into safe haven. It happens. And by the way, it also happens in politics. I've seen it. We are watching right now as one of the most eclectic group of innovators has been brought together in one administration. You got business tycoons, former Democrats, lawyers, bankers, TV news personalities, old soldiers, and Gen Z influencers all working together to get something done. And do I trust all of them all the time? No. Why would I? But I do see right now that each one of them has been given a role for which each of them seems innately suited. And while I may be more conservative than most of them, I see good stuff happening. I see real change. What I see right now are, at the very least, a bunch of 80% friends. It's better than having a bunch of 0% enemies, right? I see broken stuff getting fixed. I see stupid stuff getting broken. And so far, I'm for it all. Because, yeah, sometimes politics and war make for strange bedfellows. Sometimes the enemy of my enemy winds up being my friend, at least for a time, at least for a purpose. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.